Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Variant Cast. I was told not to speak about Will Smith's wife, and definitely don't speak her name, but someone's name that I can speak is Trent's, because we're talking about the Oscars today.
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, let's do it. So we were going to kind of just go through the categories. We got a few more things in the show for y'all. We're going to be talking about Pal World, which just came out, some news and what we've been watching, all that great stuff. Might be a bit shorter episode, but you got to be careful when saying that, because those are the ones that sometimes end up biting you in the butt. But we're going to stick to it for sure.
Yeah.
So going into these, was there any categories that stuck out to you? Any snubs, any surprise entries, anything?
So I think that the one that got a lot of people talking was there's no Margot Robbie nomination for Barbie for best actress.
Mm.
I think that is definitely a snub. That is, she definitely should have gotten nominated, especially when, Ryan Gosling did get nominated. Yeah.
Her and America.
Her and Greta Gerwig both did not get nominations.
Ooh. It's kind of interesting because those are the bigger categories. But just going through these, I haven't actually seen, I think, any of these movies with the Best Actress nominations. So I can't say for sure. But I don't know. Maybe just some fatigue with Barbie as we get into Oscar season. It came out pretty early, and it obviously got a lot of nominations. I could see Barbie being a movie inside the Academy that maybe has some rub some people the wrong way.
Yeah. There's a couple other performances in the category that I mean, I assume that I'm going to like Emma Stone's performance in Poor Things, because Emma Stone's just the GOAT. But Lily Gladstone was amazing in Killers of the Flower Moon, so I think that's who I'm rooting for Best Actress. And when she won Best Actress at the Golden Globes, that was the first time an Indigenous woman had ever won Best Actress. So pretty crazy.
Look at that. I guess we'll talk about some Best Actor kind of goes in. So Bradley Cooper, Calman Domingo, Paul Giamatti, Cillian Murphy, and Jeffrey Wright were the nominations for Best Actor for their respective movies.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like it's going to be Cillian Murphy from kind of the vibes I'm getting, but I also haven't seen Rustin, and I haven't seen American Fiction. I haven't seen all of Holdovers. I did start watching it, but I fell asleep. I won't lie. Not because of the movie, because I was incredibly tired and sleepy. Yeah, it happens.
That's fair. yeah.
But who would you think? I mean, I'm assuming we're probably going to see Oppenheimer repeat what they did at the Golden Globes and have the most awards. You think you're going to see the same with Best Actor here?
Yeah, I could definitely see Cillian Murphy winning. I could also see Bradley Cooper winning, just because I feel like they're really pushing the Oscars for Maestro. I don't know if you've seen too much about this movie, Ty, but he directed it and he started it, and it seems like it's a movie that's just like trying to get Oscars. So we'll see. But it came out like in the last couple weeks. But it really feels like this movie's like pushing for Oscars, most of the times I feel like that doesn't necessarily end up in winning a ton of awards. So Cillian Murphy would be my vote.
I do feel that they've gotten a bit more like a bit wiser to Oscar bait. If you Google this movie, it comes up with just like Oscar bait, Bradley Cooper, Oscar bait. Has he never won an Oscar? Is that the, like he wants to win one?
I don't know if that's it. I think that it's just, I think that it's just one of those movies that's just like almost like too pretentious, you know, or like one of those movies that's just like all the marketing around it just seems like, oh, this is the most well-crafted movie of all time. This movie is a masterpiece. So
one of those. Yeah. Just quick Wikipedia search. I don't believe he's ever won an Oscar. So it might be, I'm gonna get this one. Looks like he has 2 Grammys. And then 1 Screen Actors Guild Award, a Golden Globes, a Tony. It doesn't look like he has an Oscar, so maybe that's where some of the motivation comes from for the release date and how it's being marketed. But you know, something interesting.
Yeah, that is interesting. I don't know what roles. I guess he was in A Star Is Born with Lady Gaga. I think that maybe she won an Oscar for that or something, or got nominated. Maybe they both got nominated, but that's really the only other movie that I can think of where he was like a big, like the main star.
Yeah. Yeah. And obviously, it's award season right now. There's going to be a bunch of these award shows kind of back to back to back. But the Oscars is the one that I think is held the highest in terms of, oh, that's an Oscar right there. But you know, I never got the concept behind trying to make a movie to win an award, but
yeah,
the Oscars, especially, you know, previously, I think they've lost a little bit of it, but previously, like, it was big validation. It was huge validation for like an actor, like, oh, he doesn't have an Oscar yet. It was talked about a lot more than it is now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now it's just whoever has the most followers. No, I'm just joking. So I'll take the next one and do animated feature. So Into the Spider-Verse was nominated. Pixar's Elemental, that was nominated. The Boy and the Heron, the new Miyazaki film, that was nominated. The new Studio Ghibli film.
But no
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles nomination. Which I guess is fine because it's like a Nickelodeon production. And I don't know, but there, I feel like there was like so much like artistic style in that. And, I feel like it should have, at least garnered, I'm sure it was probably considered, but I would have loved to see a nomination.
I think it should be in there over Elemental. Maybe I'm wrong about that, but yeah. What I could think is just with the similarity in styles maybe between Spider-Man and I don't know, because obviously like Nimona is, I apologize for pronouncing that wrong, it's an anime film, and The Boy and the Heron is a Studio Ghibli film, right?
Yeah, Studio Ghibli film.
Yeah, Ghibli.
So like they made Spirited Away and Princess Mononoke and all those ones.
Yeah, so I mean, it's interesting how that didn't get a nomination, but I mean, I'm not like shocked per se, but yeah. I think I would have liked to see it up there because it really was a really well-crafted film. And I do put Across the Spider-Verse above it, mm-hmm. but not by like a lot. And I think it's tough to evaluate because like if you're only going to watch one movie, then maybe the Team NMT film is just a better singular product. But Spider-Verse, like all encompassing with both the movies and this third movie coming out, it's kind of hard to judge exactly where the story's gone. But in terms of the technical, the animation, a lot of the stuff that we've just never seen done before when it came to Across the Spider-Verse, I'd probably give it to them.
Yeah.
If it was between the two. But that's who I'm hoping wins. I wish, like, Best Picture would include it, but, you know, I guess Best Picture isn't for adults, no cartoons, you know?
Yeah, I think that, yeah, I don't know why they don't include animated films. Maybe, just because like there is just like that stigma around it that it's just like, oh, these are completely separate. Like these are kids movies as opposed to real movies, which are live action movies. Yeah.
And there are people that think like that. You'll run across them every once in a while. Yeah. They're like, oh, I don't watch animated stuff. Just like all animated? You just don't? That's for kids. Oh, okay.
Yeah, I remember I had an old coworker that tried to say like the Andrew Garfield Spider-Man was like the best Spider-Man. And then he was like, I was like, have you ever seen Into the Spider-Verse? And he's like, no, that's like a kid's movie. I was like, it's literally not though.
It's wild, because like live action by all means is much easier to make. Like it's not like it's much easier to make. Obviously, there's more nuances with cinematography and stuff, but all of those nuances are still there with animated. It's just much more costly and like time wise.
Yeah,
it's a lot harder to do. So feels a little weird that it's put below. Live action films, but maybe as our generation kind of gets to take this stuff over, you'll see that stigma kind of go away, because it does feel like that was more of a thing with the older generation. Because if you do think about it, there were no animated movies for adults when a lot of these people grew up. It was, you had live action movies and the cartoons were for kids.
Yeah.
And that's how it was in like the 80s and the 90s.
Yeah.
And it finally started changing in the 90s. But our generation has grown up with it. Mm-hmm. It is kind of ingrained that animation is just another form of storytelling. And that's, I think, a positive going forward. But the Oscars is going to do their own thing for a while.
Yeah. And I feel like there was like anime and stuff back in like the 70s and 80s, but it just never made its way over to like Western culture until recently. And so that's why just now you're getting the influx of like directors like Michael B. Jordan who are like incorporating like anime references and stuff into their films.
Yes, pretty much like even into the 2000s, like the early 2000s, yeah, before streaming and stuff. Like if you wanted to watch anime, you had to go rent like an anime like DVD, or you had to like just hope to catch it on Toonami. That's what I was searching for. Toonami was like a scheduling block that Cartoon Network did where they would air anime, and for a lot of people that was like the only place you could watch it on like cable. There wasn't an option to. So that was right along with Adult Swim, which also did a lot for adult animation. And I think a lot of that like cruder animation that, you know, happened in like the 90s, it really did pave the way for what we're getting now. Cause I don't think movies would receive the type of budget that they do if there wasn't that, adult appeal to them, like they have now. So,
yeah,
you know, W's there. But Best Picture, a lot of the, pretty much the same that you saw at the Golden Globe. You got your Oppenheimers, you got your Barbies, the Holdovers, Killers of the Flower Moon, Anatomy of a Fall, American Fiction. What was it? It was Maestro or
Maestro?
Maestro. Okay, that makes sense. Maestro, Past Lives, Poor Things, and The Zone of Interest. The only one I haven't heard of was Zone of Interest, which is about Auschwitz. Okay, it's not even out yet.
Love that.
A24 film.
Okay.
It's a Holocaust disaster. It's got a 92 on Rotten Tomato. It's a war crime film. That's Oscar bait.
Yeah.
Come on now.
Yeah.
February 2nd movie. Come on.
Yeah, you can't get much more Oscar bait than that. Dropping it a month before the Oscars, before or after the like award season has basically ended, you know?
Yeah, and it's just fresh in everyone's mind. Box office of 1.6 million, which I'm unsure how it had a box office. Maybe it was released here, because it does say the February 2nd is the UK release date, but there's no release date for US. So I'm guessing it was like a
limited release
film festival, limited theater type thing. Real big film guys on this one. Yeah.
Yeah.
Any other categories stick out to you?
We could just go through visual effects real fast.
So I think that's probably the most interesting one.
Yeah. So Guardians of the Galaxy 3 was nominated. Mission Impossible, Napoleon, The Creator, and Godzilla Minus One. So those, I think, were all great options. I haven't seen The Creator or Godzilla Minus One, but from the clips that I have seen from that, the visuals look really great in that. And I'd love to see the Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 nod. That's probably who I'm rooting for, just because, James Gunn's last movie, but also I feel like the visuals are just amazing in that. And I think that they said that like that was like the most prosthetics used in any movie like ever. So
yeah,
pretty
crazy. That checks out. Yeah. I think from what I've seen of The Creator, I think they've also had some impressive prosthetics, but
yeah, I think
on the scale.
Yeah. From what I've heard, like The Creator is just like all visuals, like in that movie simulator game, Ty. It was just like it's just moving, just moving visual effects all the way up, but risking story for that, and just turning story way down.
Oh, what Trent is referring to, there's this game, I think it's called like Box Office Simulator. It's harder to find now that we've used this chat more, but it's essentially a game where you just, it's really outdated. It has like a database from like 2018.
Yeah.
And you just like make movies and at little scales, you can adjust like your production. And that would make sense. That's how I always felt like a lot of Zack Snyder movies are, is just crank up the visuals.
Yeah.
Turn down the story.
Yeah.
And it's good. I think that might be... That might be a winner though, from what I've heard. But I'd like to see Guardians, or I don't really know. I guess it's just visual effects. There's nothing about it being like practical or not.
Yeah,
so,
no. Sometimes from what I think the Golden Globes has like a practical effects and a visual effects, but yeah.
Yeah, I think the thing that kind of bores me about the Oscars is one, it happens after the Golden Globes, so it's always kind of like, all right, we've already seen who won the Golden Globes Best Picture. And then the Oscars comes out and either they do the same one and it's boring, or they try to just be smarter and like make it something else. Like they'll probably just somehow make it the Zone of Interest and everyone will be like, bro, that movie's not even out yet. but they'll feel really smart doing that, and they like that stuff. So we'll see what happens there, but kind of just going through, it's exactly what you expect. You're seeing the holdovers, you're seeing Maestro, you're seeing Oppenheimer, you're seeing same, I'd say, six or seven movies kind of repeated over and over again outside of the animated categories, because those are two completely different things.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's the nominations for the Oscars 2024. No big surprises. No, I already forgot the name of the movie. No Rebel Moon.
No Iron Claw nomination. No.
Oh yeah, no, that's Efron. A good point.
No. A lot of people were thinking Zac Efron was gonna get a nomination because apparently he's like the best actor in that.
That's out on digital, right? At this point,
No, I think that's still in theaters.
Oh, come on!
Wonka just hit.
Been trying.
Just hit video on demand.
Okay, nice. All right, well, we wanted to talk about something a bit different. We're going to talk about PAL World, which is a video game that just came out into early access. It's a game I've been following for a really long time because it basically combined a couple of my favorite things ever. I really like creature collectors, and I really like survival games, and this kind of combines those two in a pretty seamless way, and you're probably seeing it talked about all the time, but there's also a bit of controversy that we were going to talk about. So
yeah,
Trent, why don't you take us away with what the streets are saying.
Yeah, so this game has been marketed for the last couple months as just a survival game that has essentially animals in it that you could tame, but the animals in question are just basically Pokemon, but they have guns. So a lot of people are upset about this online that they're just like basically blatantly ripping off Pokemon, and there's a thread on X that's essentially just like all the list of every single character in the game, and then like their Pokemon counterpart, and then like and like lists like the features or like the characteristics that are ripped off of the Pokemon. So yeah, that's a big controversy. A lot of the models in the game just happen to be like just straight up like rips from the original games that are just like exact polygon count, exact like UV mesh line, like lining up. So I feel like they're just actively just like, oh yeah, this is just happening. And then on top of that, they use like AI art and stuff in like their character portraits and stuff like that, and a lot of people don't like that. But yeah, it's essentially just Pokemon, but then like the UI is like almost exactly like Ark survival evolved. Like down to like the down to like the Ingram like selection, and like the even the graphics that they use for the Ingrams are like literally almost exactly rip-offs.
Yeah, and this was a game I was really excited about. I remember I showed it to you probably a few months before it even was starting to gain traction, and how I pitched it to you was it's Pokemon and Ark combined.
Yeah.
And I guess you watch it and you're like, wow, it really is. But hearing that, like, they took it very literally. And I think this will end up being a non-story, not because it doesn't matter. Stuff like this isn't cool, obviously. But they're going to go ahead and pull that early access card and say that this art is not final, and there's some placeholder assets with AI. They're going to pull all of that, and then they're going to hire someone to do it, and everyone's going to act like they don't care anymore, and we'll just move on. But I do think it raises a interesting concern with the models, because like models nowadays can just be exported and manipulated, and it's really hard to, you know, keep track of it. Like, this has probably happened in so many games in which it was hidden better.
Yeah.
And they were just shameless with it.
Yeah.
And I think the reason they were shameless was probably just due to the idea, like, oh, we're acknowledging it's Pokemon with guns.
Yeah.
So it's fine that they look exactly like Pokemon, which to an extent is true. I don't care. But you shouldn't be using assets directly from it, because I don't know, it's hard to take you seriously if you're not making your own models, which I think they are making their own models. Maybe just not as much as they should.
Yeah, and the CEO of the game company like came out and was like, please don't send death threats to our artists. That's not cool. Which obviously isn't cool. There's also there's already like mod support for the game, and people just like, you know, already made like Pokemon, just like replacing all of the characters with Pokemon, and it was like,
yeah,
Nintendo just sent like instantly sent them like a DMCA notice, and was like, he was like, yeah, bro, like you can't do that.
Yeah, Pokemon's not one to be played with. Pokemon Company is notoriously not cool with their, like, any of their stuff being used. So this is definitely on their radar. And yeah. I'd expect some, like, Arc. We've played a lot of Arc in our day. And the models of the dinosaurs changed over time. I'd expect we're going to see the first big update of Pal World is just like a model revamp, and they're going to just completely redo everything. Not necessarily because they want to, but because if not, I think there's a good chance if they're able to, you know, line some stuff up, you could get hit with the lawsuit.
Yeah.
Which you don't want. Don't want that from the Pokemon Company and Nintendo. They're pretty ruthless up there.
Yeah. And from what I understand, like, this is like nearly a full price game, right? Like, this is like a $40 game.
Let me double check. I do know it's on Game Pass, which which one it is generally good for consumers, but it is important to know if something is on Game Pass, they're making bank. But yeah, $27, that's about what Arc launched at when it was early access, so I imagine this probably kind of follows that same route. It looks like it's $30. It's 10% off right now offer. So yeah, that's exactly what Arc launched at, and then Arc has slowly crept up, and I remember the Arc devs kind of defended it by, oh, we released a AAA game at half the price and gave everyone free updates, so of course we're raising the price. And I imagine this will be the same thing once it comes out of early access. It'll probably go to that full $70 price tag they have on video games nowadays.
Yeah.
But, you know, at the end of the day, video games are in a tough spot. I think most media is in a tough spot with AI. That's the other aspect of this. I think it can be fine, but there needs to be you know, transparency with it, as well as you can't, when you start losing artistic integrity, then there's some questions that come up with it, whether it was, you know, something you did or something that your AI model just popped out with.
Yeah.
And you ran with it. So like I'm in the boat that if you can enhance like the background of something with AI, I think that's a perfectly fine use for it. But, you know, it's tough. I don't want to be the guy that's pushing back on AI the entire time, because it is going to become better and better and more accessible. And in theory, AI could take us and produce content that we would have never gotten before. And I find that aspect cool.
Yeah.
Like you watch, there's a lot of those like YouTube videos that are AI videos that basically every frame, the image is slowly changing. I don't know if you've seen those before.
Yeah.
But it's just like an AI thing. And that's like content that wasn't possible before. And I think that stuff is cool. Where you get weird is like content that is possible and you're just trying to cut corners. And
yeah,
with video games, with an early access game, maybe you can...
Yeah,
make a point there, but I don't know.
And it's different, like being in a big being from a big studio and having the like outreach and having the ability to hire those types of people to make that type of art. But if you're just like a solo artist and you're just trying to like make content for fun, or just like trying to just like do something to where like you're like, oh, I'm not gonna necessarily sit here and spend or like pay somebody to like make a background for me because I don't have money for that, and you're just like, I'm not gonna hire anybody, I'm just doing it by myself. I feel like that's a totally reasonable use for AI.
Yeah, I mean, something I do, since I struggle with lines, anytime I do art, I will use like AI and trace, and because like AI will never quite look right, but if you just need like framing and stuff, it's really, really useful with like the in-house like Photoshop tool. You could have something that looks like you know, right around the size you want. You can go over it and kind of add, you know, your own stuff to it. So like, I think AI is a really, really good tool for art. And I think we should be pushing more in that direction.
Yeah.
As opposed to, you know, the AI just making the art for you, which it could definitely do. So
yeah,
I was curious, the developer, looks like, I mean, they're not like a huge developer. It is based in Japan, which I kind of find interesting. I definitely thought this was an American thing. But yeah, it's from Pocket Pair. There isn't necessarily, you know, a lot of
one other game
it,
that was like,
but,
like a Minecraft ripoff. It was like called like Craftopia or something that I remember hearing about like last year or something. But yeah, like from what I read, like they make games that aren't really, that don't ever really get like polished after they get released, you know? So we'll see what happens with this. I just thought it was an interesting topic to bring up.
Definitely. Definitely. It'll be interesting to see how this develops, because like, this developer, like you were saying, from what I could see, Craftopia didn't really get support after, and Pal World's their first like viral game. So what they do with that is interesting. I was really excited for it. I'm almost less excited seeing how popular it's gotten this early, because you know how the internet is with things.
Yeah.
They're going to chew it up. They're going to spit it out. And I just hope that the game continues to get better, like say a No Man's Sky did, and doesn't just like stagnate and just disappear like some other games will do after going viral for a few months. So
yeah,
we'll see. The developer's track record is a concern, but you know, what are you going to do but just watch it happen, right?
Yeah.
Speaking of watching it happen, that's what, you know, Mr. Beast subscribers are going to be doing on Amazon Prime come. I honestly don't even know when it's actually going to happen, but they're closing a deal right now, Mr. Beast and Amazon, worth nearly $100 million. And the first episode that'll air, or essentially whenever he drops a video, it's going to air like a day before on Prime Video.
What?
Before it comes out on his YouTube channel.
That's whack.
Oh wait, whoa, I read that wrong. It's gonna be a show, whole show greenlit, and it will
exclusive.
The first episode will, yes, but the first episode will air on his YouTube channel, and then it will go to Prime Video. Read it backwards. It happens. But yeah, no. So he is getting his own show. I know that's something that people have talked about. I don't really know why, because like his YouTube videos are full on production.
Yeah.
So I don't know why he needs,
I think he's talked about that in the past, and how he's brought that up to how he's brought like an idea of a show to a network, but being like, it essentially just has to be like exactly like my YouTube videos, but on like a bigger budget. And then there's always like caveats, like, oh, like, We can't really build a whole Squid Game set for you. Like, sorry, but
I guess Amazon's like, we'll build you a whole.
Yeah,
Squid
Jeff Bezos, game I guess, has enough money.
worth nearly $100 million, from what I've heard. That must just be the first season of his show.
Yeah,
because like, it's expensive. So, I'm guessing they greenlit like 10 episodes for $100 million. Looking at about $10 million an episode, that feels like a Mr. Beast like production to me. So
yeah,
that'll be interesting to see. Christopher Reeve's family said they did not have any involvement in his CGI cameo in The Flash, and they haven't watched the film.
Yeah, and rightfully so. I would not want to see my dead father animated like that.
At least they got paid, you know?
Yeah.
We talked about it with Bruce Willis. Like, if they could get paid, that's dope. I don't know if the technology's... I mean, the technology's there. I'll take that back. Technology's there. The technology was not there in The Flash for it.
Yeah.
And then pretty light leak day. There was Wilson Bethel will return as Bullseye Daredevil Born Again. So
one of the best characters.
Bring more people back
From Daredevil season three. When Daredevil was announced to be coming back for another season, I was like, they're like, it's going to be a slight continuation of the old series. And I was like happy, but at the same time, I was kind of disappointed because I knew that we probably weren't going to see Bullseye again because it left on a cliffhanger pertaining to him. And so even if they follow that up, just like the slightest a bit, like just throw a suit on him, throw a Bullseye suit on him, and I'll be happy.
That's all Trent needs. Just throw a Bullseye suit on him. give him that one Bullseye suit from the like 2000s film.
Yes, exactly. Affleck.
Is that even a suit? I can't even actually.
I think he was just wearing like a black leather trench coat, and he had a Bullseye imprinted on his head. Yeah.
okay. I knew there was a Bullseye on the head. Does this iteration have a Bullseye on his forehead?
No, but at the very end, his eye turned into a Bullseye.
Oh, let's go.
Yeah. So pretty freaking sweet.
A new Jurassic World movie is in the works. Jurassic Park screenwriter David Klopp will write the script to introduce a new Jurassic era.
Why? What else could they do? In the last movie, they already released the dinosaurs out into the world, and I don't remember what happened in the last movie, even though I watched it. I watched the last movie, but I have no idea what happened because it was just so convoluted. And oh, I remember it was it was like a little girl who was like somehow like the same DNA as like the clone from the dinosaurs, so they had to like somehow save the little girl to, and but then they realized like they can't kill off all the dinosaurs because something that's all I remember from Jurassic World Dominion. But I don't see how they could make another one of those.
It feels like they need a new Jurassic, and that's what the writers are hard at work, because you can't make it Jurassic World subtitle, even though this says they're working on a new Jurassic World. This, you got a new, like, you had a Jurassic Park,
Jurassic System,
you had Jurassic World. Yeah. You need like a Jurassic Kingdom. No, they already did Kingdom.
Fallen Kingdom.
Jurassic, I want to say Domain, but that sounds like Dominion. They've kind of already hit all of them. Jurassic City, maybe.
And you know that, and like they're going to make this one, they're going to make another one, and then they're like, you know what? People are itching for Chris Pratt to come back. We got to bring back Chris Pratt. And then by then Sam Neill, the original dude in Jurassic Park, is going to be like 90 years old, and they're going to be like, "All right, we're going to have to wheel him out here too to
look at it." They'll get a dope shot of all three of the main characters like standing in a field looking at a T-Rex running at them.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, just keep doing it. I think I wouldn't mind it if they, I don't know, took the Bumblebee route, made it a smaller story.
Yeah.
You know, some like, you know, girl finds a raptor in her backpack and, you know, raises it. I don't know, man. Give me something else.
Yeah.
I feel like every Jurassic movie is the same, where it's like, we got this new invention. Look at this shiny new thing. It's super cool.
Yeah.
Oh no, the new thing is actually bad, and now everything's getting destroyed.
Yeah.
And we gotta, I don't know, like, let's run around and figure it out, I guess.
This thing that's naturally a predator that has thermal vision. Or that we added thermal vision to. Let's just see how he does. Oh wait, he's attacking us. Oh wait.
Mm. Dang. Darn. that's a good use of government fund. I actually don't know if it's government funded or not, feels government funded though.
Propaganda for something.
We're gonna go. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. We were gonna go ahead and get back to a older segment that we did, where it's kind of like a. It's like a bi-weekly. You gotta come back the next episode for the payoff. You know, essentially, me and Trent take turns just giving each other a movie to watch. There's no negotiation when it comes to it. That's actually a great name for this segment. This is our no negotiation recommendation.
Okay. Right there. Okay.
Yeah. So Trent is gonna be going first. There is no negotiation in this. He's gonna give me a movie. I'm gonna watch that movie. No matter what, and come back to him with my thoughts. And then we're going to get into all the stuff we've been watching since last episode, talking about that. And then we're going to get out of here probably at about an hour. So not a faster episode at all. Hopefully less, though. Maybe we'll come in at 55 minutes and we'll be like, look at that short episode for you, boys.
Yeah. Thinking, probably about an hour. So I think... I want to say the last movie that you gave me, I made a Letterboxd list somewhere that maybe I'll post of all.
I've forgotten,
but so I'll give you one that I think you've been meaning to watch, Ty, and we need to talk about it. So I'm going to give you Wonka.
Okay.
So real easy recommendation. Yeah, fresh out on digital. So next week we'll talk about it.
Yeah, I look forward to watching it. Probably was gonna watch it this month regardless, but this gives me some motivation to get it done this week. And I'm excited. I've heard good things, and I actually like the Johnny Depp Wonka more than the original Wonka because I'm a degenerate that grew up in the 2000s, and I had no taste, and I refuse to let my nostalgia fade. Anyways. sounds good. Some of the stuff I've been watching, I watched Knock at the Cabin, directed by M. Night Shyamalan. I have this interesting thing where I like to follow directors and certain directors, try to watch most of their movies. James Gunn is one of them, and M. Night Shyamalan's another one. If I could just keep up on their filmography, I like to just see where they go. M. Night does not make movies that I... enjoy traditionally. They are often convoluted for no reason, poorly acted, which at a certain point is like, bro, this is just your fault. obviously, you can look up clips of The Happening. We've seen Mark Wahlberg and Zoe like act like it's not, they can act, but in The Happening they're just like, can you give me a second, just give me a second. I don't know why they all talk like that, but The Happening, by the way, best clips on YouTube. Anyways, watched Old a year ago at this point. I actually liked Old decent amount. It was a novel concept, and like every M. Night movie, there's a twist, and same thing with A Knock at the Cabin. It is presented as these religious fanatics breaking into a cabin and holding a gay couple and their daughter hostage and forcing them to decide which one to kill. And that's kind of the whole plot of the movie. But the intruders, they have reasons as to why they are breaking into this cabin. And they seem insane, and turns out, there's a twist. I'm sure you can guess what the twist is, but I think it's worth a watch. It stars Dave Bautista. If you're into thrillers, if you're into meh M. Night movies that will have you laughing a couple times, then it's definitely worth a bit of your time. But if not, it at the very least has a great Dave Bautista performance where he is kind of in a tough role to play, and it's one of those roles that like I can point to and be like, this is why I would never put The Rock above him, because the role that he plays in this movie is like a uptight teacher that is being forced to kill by visions, and he just nails it. And just got to give it up to Dave. Absolutely killing it right now. Yeah. That came out at the end of 2023. So it was an interesting movie. It, in the M. Night meter, it is a solid like 6.
Nice. So yeah, I watched Jake Johnson's new movie, Self-Reliance. So it's a self-directed movie. He stars in it, and essentially it's this guy who doesn't really have a lot going for him. He just broke up with his girlfriend, and his girlfriend of like, I think they said like 15 years or something. Like he never proposed, he never proposed to his girlfriend, but so they just broke up. But he wins this contest where, if he survives 30 days, being hunted by people trying to kill him, that he wins $1 million. So so the whole movie is essentially like. Or there's a caveat that says like if he's with somebody that he won't or like they can't try to hurt him because then they could injure the other person. So so the whole movie is like him having to have somebody like next to him, but also trying to avoid like being hunted by all these people. So it's really funny movie. It's got Anna Kendrick in it, and Andy Samberg is in it. It's a short movie. It wasn't the best movie of all time, but there's a few funny parts in it.
Yeah, I mean it sounds fun. Sounds like a directorial debut. It's a fairly simple concept. I'm pretty sure that's just the most dangerous game. I don't know if you've ever seen. But like CT from The Challenge, he starred in a Most Dangerous Game ripoff that I haven't watched yet, but it's one of those like low budget kind of things where they have the rights to something, so they're like, oh, let's make a movie, and this guy's halfway recognizable, so we'll throw him in it.
Is he the dude getting hunted? Funny bit. Or is he the dude doing the hunting?
I don't know. He's on the cover, but like that could be either one of them. I think he's getting hunted. But who knows, man? My camera hits a sick Dutch angle for you. Knock at the Cabin, by the way. If you're a big fan of Dutch angles, there's so many Dutch angles there. Same with, I guess not as many, but I watched Dream Scenario starring Nick Cage, the A24 film. I loved it. I knew it would be a movie that I'd like. It's kind of like moody. I like moody movies, and I like Nick Cage, especially when he's playing a spineless goon.
Yeah,
where you know he has his quirks, and it's such a believable character. Mm-hmm. I think Nick Cage is one of the best character actors like of this generation. I know some people like to disagree with that, but you're wrong. Nick Cage is that dude. And he shows it in Dream Scenario. I know you talked about it before. I think it's a really solid film. It's not for everyone. I'm not saying everybody should watch it. But if you are into like just weird, slightly thought-provoking films that have strange visuals as well as just some, I think, funny scenarios. Like anytime I talk to anyone about it, they always ask, oh, is it like a funny movie? And it's like, it's absolutely funny, but it's not like a comedy. But it's absolutely funny. In a way that kind of makes you cringe a little bit. I think that's something Nick Cage does really well, and it really shows here, as well as just pacing. Everything felt good. I think it's a really solid movie. If I had any complaints about it, it would just be, I think the ending could have been a bit saucier. Not in the sense that like I needed some happy ending, but maybe just something a bit more finite. Kind of ended like a Christopher Nolan movie a little bit. But you know, I didn't mind that given the subject matter.
Yeah. I thought that Nick Cage did a really great job playing that character, and all of the students I thought were really great in it. Yeah, it was directed great, and that end, like the scene towards the end where it just cuts to like a commercial for like a watch that you can wear when you're sleeping.
Yeah,
like I thought that was just so funny.
Yeah, no, I like that. I like that part. That's kind of the beginning of what feels like an epilogue.
Yeah,
a little bit. And it kind of ends on a good note. So you know, there's some comeuppance that are had, and there's some things that you're like, all right. Yeah. But dude gets so screwed in this situation.
Yeah, what are you supposed to do? it's like
yeah,
you're not having like anything to do with it, but yet everyone around you is just like, yeah, this guy's murdering me in my sleep. It's like
yeah, not spoilers at all. If you have no idea what the movie's about, it's just a guy that shows up in people's dreams, pretty much everybody's dreams. So obviously everybody's talking about it on social media, it's being talked about, he becomes this overnight celebrity, but then, you know, something happens and the dreams start going bad for people, and all of a sudden it is not, he's not treated like a celebrity, he's treated like a villain, getting, you know, just basically just profiled everywhere he goes,
and yeah,
not led a good life, and there's just things that happen to him where you're like, it's not his fault, what are you doing? It makes you feel some emotion, and I really liked it. It's definitely something I'd watch again with the right crowd, for sure.
Yeah, definitely.
All right. Well, you got anything else, or are we actually going to get out of here before an hour?
Yeah, I think that about wraps it up.
Look at that. So make sure to come back next week for the review of Wonka. We're going to be going spoiler review of a movie that's been remade like two times. So look forward to that, as well as probably going to be talking a bit of What If. I started watching those.
Oh, okay.
I'm not going to watch the Christmas special. I don't really care at all about the Christmas special. And if you want to kill me for that, you can. I just don't really care about Happy Hogan Saving Christmas when it's January 28th or something. You know, I can't.
Yeah.
I can't do it. I don't like Christmas that much. I can't. But there were, from the episodes I watched, it does seem like an improvement on season one, which is, I don't know, a surprise to me, because I was kind of expecting maybe something lower quality, which is why they didn't market it that much. And maybe they did market it and I just wasn't part of that targeted advertising, but I felt like it came out pretty quiet and reception was pretty quiet. But we're gonna be breaking it down next week, so if you are interested in hearing what happened in What If, and if there's anything that is going to be consequential to the greater MCU, then make sure to check back then. We'll also be going over any Rotter Tots that come out and kind of following up with that. Trent made a spreadsheet so we can actually keep track of our Rotter Tots, so shout out to him. We are both tied at 4-4 right now, so going into February, we'll see if that tie breaks.
Yeah.
But that, oh, go for it.
Oh, no, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to wrap it home.
Yeah.
So I got nothing. Say. Oh, all right. Well, why don't you take us home, Trent?
All right. Thanks everybody for listening. Thanks everybody for watching. Please leave a like on the video, on the episode. Please leave please hit subscribe. Would love to, get that number up past 9. We've been at 9 for a while, so would love to get that number up. Yeah, thanks everybody for listening, and I hope that you join us next week.
Yeah, definitely. And if you make it this far, you gotta like, come on, you made it 55 minutes into a video and you're not gonna like it? That seems absurd to me. Yeah. I would never watch a video for 55 minutes that I didn't like. Come on.
Yeah.
Be honest with yourself. But appreciate y'all, and we'll see you next week.
Deuces.